Unit 9. Did the Chinese discover America? There have long been hints that Columbus was not the first explorer to come to the New World from the old. Evidence suggests that the Viking Leif Erikson crossed the Atlantic and visited North America in the 11th century. There are claims that the Phoenicians, the Irish, the Polynesians, and others made the journey before 1492. Now, an amateur historian, Gavin Menzies, has theorized that the Chinese made the journey too. According to Menzies, the Chinese explored Australia 350 years before Captain Cook, circled the world a century before Magellan, and arrived on American shores 71 years before Christopher Columbus. In the first half of the 15th century, China was a naval superpower. The commander of the imperial fleet was the remarkable Tseng He. Tseng lived a rags-to-riches life. He was born Ma He in 1371, a member of the minority Muslim group, the Samur. At the age of 10, he became a servant of a duke, Yong Le, who was fighting to become emperor. Renamed Tseng He, he became a warrior in the duke's bodyguard and his trusted advisor. When the duke occupied the capital of Nanjing and became the third Ming Dynasty emperor, he made Tseng He his chief admiral. Tseng is described in Chinese records as tall and powerful, with the stride of a tiger and a clear, vibrant voice. Tseng He oversaw the building of a powerful fleet at the shipyards at Dragon Bay near Nanjing, the remains of which can still be seen today. The emperor sent him on 7 major expeditions of trade and diplomacy. Each of these voyages involved an armada of hundreds of ships, including 60 gigantic 9-masted junks made of teak and mahogany. These ships were over 100 meters long and could carry over 500 passengers. The largest, Zheng's flagship, was over 150 meters in length and could carry 1,000 passengers. By way of comparison, Columbus's flimsy flagship, the Santa Maria, was only 25 meters long. The large treasure ships were accompanied by supply ships, water tankers, and transports for the cavalry's horses. The fleet carried a total of 27,000 people. In addition to the sailors and soldiers, there were diplomats, doctors, scribes, carpenters, linguists, astrologers, cooks, and meteorologists. Because the Chinese distrusted foreign food, the fleet carried enough food for their lengthy voyages. In addition to rice and other food that could be preserved, the ships carried tubs of earth on their decks so that fresh fruits and vegetables could be grown. The holds of the ships were loaded with weapons, tools, and trade goods, gold and silverware, copper utensils, silk and cotton fabrics, and the blue and white Ming porcelain prized by people everywhere. The ships were technological marvels for the time. They featured watertight compartments to keep the ships from sinking in case of damage, a centrally mounted rudder, and new types of sails. They were able to navigate by means of magnetic compasses. On Tseng's first expedition, he sailed south to Vietnam and the Spice Islands, today's Indonesia, and established a base at Malacca, now part of Malaysia. On one voyage, he traveled to India and Ceylon, present-day Sri Lanka, and he took the ruler of Ceylon back to China for instruction. He was returned on a later voyage. On another, he explored the southern coast of Australia. Records say that the sailors observed men hunting there with boomerangs. One journey took him to Arabia, another to Somalia. In all, Tseng traveled to 37 countries. He left embassies in many countries and brought back ambassadors to China. The Chinese exchanged their goods with Indian, Arabic, and African merchants, obtaining spices, incense, ivory, amber, pearls, medicines, and hardwoods that were prized by the imperial court. Among his most exotic souvenirs were a celestial horse, zebra, a camel bird, ostrich, a lion, and a giraffe, gifts from the ruler of Somalia. Because the Somali word for giraffe was similar to the Chinese word for unicorn, kilin, and because of the unicorn's role in the birth of Confucius, the giraffe was particularly prized. All of this is well documented in official Ming records. Recently, however, Gavin Menzies has taken the story a global leap forward. Menzies, a retired British submarine commander and an amateur historian, has written a book, 1421, The Year the Chinese Discovered the World, 2002, describing Seng's sixth voyage. The fleet left the river port of Nanjing and passed through the Strait of Malacca and sailed across the Indian Ocean. On reaching the Cape of Good Hope at the southern tip of Africa, the fleet split up. Seng returned with part of the fleet to China. The rest continued up the coast of Africa, then turned west across the Atlantic to the Caribbean. According to Menzies, the remains of shipwrecked Chinese junks have been found there. The fleet then turned south, following the east coast of South America, and, as Magellan would do 100 years later, rounded the tip of the continent at Cape Horn. From there, the fleet traveled north and anchored for a time in the Sea of Cortez, between Baja California and the Mexican mainland. The fleet then continued up the California coast and visited Vancouver Island in Canada before crossing the Pacific and returning to its home port. Some of the sailors disembarked in North America. According to Menzies, when the Spanish colonialists came to the region in the 16th century, they met the descendants of the Chinese mariners. However, the diseases the Europeans brought with them wiped out 90% of the native population, and according to Menzies, eliminated the Chinese influences. Menzies points out that when Columbus and Magellan made their voyages, they had maps showing the position of the Americas. What nobody has explained is why the European explorers had maps, Menzies said. Who drew the maps? There are millions of square miles of ocean. It required huge fleets to chart them. If it wasn't the Chinese, with the biggest fleets and ships in the world, who was it? According to Menzies, the Italian adventurer Niccolo da Conti, who may have sailed on one of Seng's voyages, brought the maps to Venice in 1428, and from there, they were taken to Portugal. However, many historians are skeptical of Menzies' theories. Experts on cartography, such as Gillian Hutchinson of the National Maritime Museum in London, find Menzies' map evidence the most controversial part of his theory. According to one account, Tseng He died in India on his seventh voyage. Another account says that he died shortly after returning to China. Emperor Yang Lo had lost power to his son in 1430, and the new emperor and the conservative imperial bureaucracy shut the door to exploration. The great ships were mothballed, and it became a crime to build ships with more than two masts. At the same time, the Portuguese and other European powers were entering an expansionist phase. As Menzies points out in his book, history would have been very different if China had not stopped its exploration. Decide if the statements are true or false. Fill in the space of the circled T or F according to what you hear or remember from the reading. Did the Chinese discover America? There have long been hints that Columbus was not the first explorer to come to the New World from the old. Evidence suggests that the Viking Leif Erikson crossed the Atlantic and visited North America in the 11th century. There are claims that the Phoenicians, the Irish, the Polynesians, and others made the journey before 1492. Now, an amateur historian, Gavin Menzies, has theorized that the Chinese made the journey too. According to Menzies, the Chinese explored Australia 350 years before Captain Cook, circled the world a century before Magellan, and arrived on American shores 71 years before Christopher Columbus. In the first half of the 15th century, China was a naval superpower. The commander of the imperial fleet was the remarkable Tseng He. Tseng lived a rags-to-riches life. He was born Ma He in 1371, a member of the minority Muslim group, the Samur. At the age of 10, he became a servant of a duke, Yong Le, who was fighting to become emperor. Renamed Tseng He, he became a warrior in the duke's bodyguard and his trusted advisor. When the duke occupied the capital of Nanjing and became the third Ming Dynasty emperor, he made Tseng He his chief admiral. Tseng is described in Chinese records as tall and powerful, with the stride of a tiger and a clear, vibrant voice.
1. In the early 15th century, China had a powerful navy. 2. Tseng He was born into a rich aristocratic family.
3. Tseng He oversaw the building of a powerful fleet at the shipyards at Dragon Bay near Nanjing, the remains of which can still be seen today. The emperor sent him on 7 major expeditions of trade and diplomacy. Each of these voyages involved an armada of hundreds of ships, including 60 gigantic 9-masted junks made of teak and mahogany. These ships were over 100 meters long and could carry over 500 passengers. The largest, Tseng's flagship, was over 150 meters in length and could carry 1,000 passengers. By way of comparison, Columbus's flimsy flagship, the Santa Maria, was only 25 meters long. The large treasure ships were accompanied by supply ships, water tankers, and transports for the cavalry's horses. The fleet carried a total of 27,000 people. In addition to the sailors and soldiers, there were diplomats, doctors, scribes, carpenters, linguists, astrologers, cooks, and meteorologists. Because the Chinese distrusted foreign food, the fleet carried enough food for their lengthy voyages. In addition to rice and other food that could be preserved, the ships carried tubs of earth on their decks so that fresh fruits and vegetables could be grown. The holds of the ships were loaded with weapons, tools, and trade goods, gold and silverware, copper utensils, silk and cotton fabrics, and the blue and white Ming porcelain prized by people everywhere. The ships were technological marvels for the time. They featured watertight compartments to keep the ships from sinking in case of damage, a centrally mounted rudder, and new types of sails. They were able to navigate by means of magnetic compasses.
3. The ships in Tseng's fleet were large but primitive. 4. The ships of Tseng's fleet were manned entirely by military personnel. 5. Navigators on Tseng's fleet used magnetic compasses.
5. On Tseng's first expedition, he sailed south to Vietnam and the Spice Islands, today's Indonesia, and established a base at Malacca, now part of Malaysia. On one voyage, he traveled to India and Ceylon, present-day Sri Lanka, and he took the ruler of Ceylon back to China for instruction. He was returned on a later voyage. On another, he explored the southern coast of Australia. Records say that the sailors observed men hunting there with boomerangs. One journey took him to Arabia, another to Somalia. In all, Tseng traveled to 37 countries. He left embassies in many countries and brought back ambassadors to China. The Chinese exchanged their goods with Indian, Arabic, and African merchants, obtaining spices, incense, ivory, amber, pearls, medicines, and hardwoods that were prized by the imperial court. Among his most exotic souvenirs were a celestial horse, zebra, a camel bird, ostrich, a lion, and a giraffe, gifts from the ruler of Somalia. Because the Somali word for giraffe was similar to the Chinese word for unicorn, kilin, and because of the unicorn's role in the birth of Confucius, the giraffe was particularly prized.
6. Tsang He took Chinese diplomats to other countries and brought diplomats from other countries to China. Seven. What the Chinese call a camel bird was actually an ostrich. 8. The Chinese legend of the unicorn came from stories brought back from Africa.
All of this is well documented in official Ming records. Recently, however, Gavin Menzies has taken the story a global leap forward. Menzies, a retired British submarine commander and an amateur historian, has written a book, 1421, The Year the Chinese Discovered the World, 2002, describing Tseng's sixth voyage. The fleet left the river port of Nanjing and passed through the Strait of Malacca and sailed across the Indian Ocean. On reaching the Cape of Good Hope at the southern tip of Africa, the fleet split up. Tseng returned with part of the fleet to China. The rest continued up the coast of Africa, then turned west across the Atlantic to the Caribbean. According to Menzies, the remains of shipwrecked Chinese junks have been found there. The fleet then turned south, following the east coast of South America, and, as Magellan would do 100 years later, rounded the tip of the continent at Cape Horn. From there, the fleet traveled north and anchored for a time in the Sea of Cortez, between Baja California and the Mexican mainland. The fleet then continued up the California coast and visited Vancouver Island in Canada before crossing the Pacific and returning to its home port. Some of the sailors disembarked in North America. According to Menzies, when the Spanish colonialists came to the region in the 16th century, they met the descendants of the Chinese mariners. However, the diseases the Europeans brought with them wiped out 90% of the native population, and according to Menzies, eliminated the Chinese influences. Menzies points out that when Columbus and Magellan made their voyages, they had maps showing the position of the Americas. What nobody has explained is why the European explorers had maps, Menzies said. Who drew the maps? There are millions of square miles of ocean. It required huge fleets to chart them. If it wasn't the Chinese, with the biggest fleets and ships in the world, who was it? According to Menzies, the Italian adventurer Niccolò da Conti, who may have sailed on one of Tseng's voyages, brought the maps to Venice in 1428, and from there, they were taken to Portugal. However, many historians are skeptical of Menzies' theories. Experts on cartography, such as Gillian Hutchinson of the National Maritime Museum in London, find Menzies' map evidence the most controversial part of his theory.
9. According to Menzies' theory, Tsang He led the first Chinese expedition to land in America. 10. The historian Gillian Hutchinson finds the evidence from maps to be the strongest part of Menzies' theory. 11.
According to one account, Tsang He died in India on his seventh voyage. Another account says that he died shortly after returning to China. Emperor Yang Lo had lost power to his son in 1430, and the new emperor and the conservative imperial bureaucracy shut the door to exploration. The great ships were mothballed, and it became a crime to build ships with more than two masts. At the same time, the Portuguese and other European powers were entering an expansionist phase. As Menzies points out in his book, history would have been very different if China had not stopped its exploration.
11. There is disagreement about where Tseng He died. In the years after Tseng He's death, China began to turn inward while Europe began to turn outward.